This is Daniel Alfredson, and you're listening to the
Sense Call-Ups.
From Studio 65, a stone's throw from the home of the Ottawa Senators, welcome to Season 3, Episode number 8 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and Pan Canuck are here as well as we talk about the Senators, their struggles, and the surprising news of what's going to happen before tomorrow night's game against the Islanders. To get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@senscallups.com. You can find us on Twitter, on Facebook, in the online forums at senscallups.com, or you can call our waiver wire at 844-728-6565 to leave us a rant, a rave, a game summary, or anything else you want to get off your chest. Boys, it's Wednesday night. What are we doing here?
Well, first off, I'm trying to figure out how you're going to throw a stone from the Canadian Tire Center over to here.
With a trebuchet.
Okay. So you're not going to make
it. I do have one in the backyard.
Next question.
You do?
Does your sweater actually say Beaver Country?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Well, some of us know what the airplane is. DHC-1, better known as the De Havilland Beaver.
Oh!
Thanks for playing.
Low Where energy were we? Today.
Well, we're here on a Wednesday. I haven't been here on a Wednesday in a while. That's why I'm wondering, is it actually Wednesday?
It's true.
I honestly thought it was Tuesday.
That was yesterday.
But I also think that tomorrow's going to be Friday.
Well, then you'll miss the game.
I know. I actually had a dream two nights ago that I missed. I slept in and missed the ceremony.
You slept in until 7:40 at night?
I fell asleep and I woke up and it was like 8 o'clock on game day.
Oops.
And I missed the whole thing and I was devastated.
Oops. That would be bad. Yes. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. We'll talk about that in a bit, but I think that's probably going to take up quite a bit of our show tonight because, well, a lot has happened since we were here last. Everything's happening.
I've got mice in the house.
Oh, do you want to talk about that now? Okay, we'll talk about mice in your house now. You sent us a picture of one mouse in a mouse trap.
Yeah, so yesterday I picked up some traps and set them out.
Peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Best thing to put in them is peanut butter?
Yeah, it got
second
one.
Second best thing is to put mice.
Mice don't catch mice. I've tried it.
They say the earlier bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the peanut butter or the cheese.
Possibly. I set enough traps when I'm catching mice that no, the second one gets trapped too.
Well, apparently there's more than two or three now. So one overnight I woke up. I figured I'd be awakened from the dead because I was sleeping near this thing. I hear either the snap or the subsequent squeals.
No, they don't squeal very often.
So this one didn't do anything. Well, I say that because the night before, my cat had one cornered in the laundry room, and it was like a murderous squeal sound.
Well, yes, yes.
She didn't get it, but she's screaming for her life kind of thing.
Yeah. Hmm. The mouse is trying to threaten away the cat.
Yeah, good luck.
Hmm. You can't do that against the mouse.
The trap, though. But today I came home from work, and apparently there's stories that there's another one, and I went down and I was going to go peek into it, and I can actually hear, because I got it inside, I can't put it out on the floor because I have a cat, so it's actually inside a wall where I have a hole cut away, so it's kind of where it needs to be, actually a great spot, and I can actually hear it moving, and it's one of these plastic, not the old wooden with the metal spring, like a plastic mouse trap, and I can actually hear the plastic on the concrete moving away, so it's been trapped and it's trying to fight for its life.
Get it with something.
Well,
fist.
I figured I'd wait it out. I figured I'd wait it out a little bit.
No, you kill it. You don't let it stop her like that. You kill it.
Well, I was in a hurry.
And then nice. Okay.
So I went to check on it before I came over here. And I said, okay, well, I'll deal with it. Open up the little thing to get into the wall. And it's not there.
It's carried it off into
so
the wall.
It's carried it off somewhere.
You'll smell that in a few days.
So I don't think it's too far, though, because I heard it. So
sell the house.
Well, that can stink. No, normally the trap will kill them, but if it doesn't, just hit them with a shovel, brick, fist, something.
Cat.
It's really annoying. Well, I mean, waking up to a dead mouse, but anyway.
You told this entire story for this.
No, no. Anyway, where were we?
Yeah. Well, we got stuff to talk about. We got games to get through, and we have other things, so.
Game on!
The first game to talk about will be game number, I think it's 22. I'm not really sure anymore. I'm having a bad day today, so it's either 21 or 22. The Senators, this was the game that was going on when we were recording last week, which was the Senators in St. Louis playing against the Blues. So to recap this game pretty quickly, Leonard was in goal, Zibanejad and McCulloch were the scratches, Greening and Condra were in. And the important note for this game isn't who was scratched or who was in for Ottawa. The important note is, who were the referees? Frédéric Lecuyer and Dan O'Rourke. Now, we missed most of the first period. By the time we finished recording and actually got the game on, we had already missed Jaden Schwartz's goal being waved off at 12:16.
In fact, you called it out. You said, oh, they scored.
Yes, and it turns out that one was waved off. And then shortly after that, Eric Condra had a goal waved off. But by the time we actually had the television on, it was right around the 14-minute and 23-second mark where Ott scored to give St. Louis the 1-0 lead. After the first period, shots and goals were even at 9 apiece, but St. Louis was owning the faceoff dot 14-6. In the second period, the wave of penalties start. Stastny, Legwon, Turris, Lazar. And at 12:05, Steen scores on a power play after Lazar's in the box for tripping. It was a questionable dive slash kneeing attempt that was called tripping. I thought it was a pretty questionable penalty myself. And the St. Louis is up 2-0. 13:58, Condra gets his second goal of the game waved off after Butler, the defenseman for the Blues, pushes Condra over Elliott. A melee ensues with Butler punching Condra, and Elliott was injured on the play. Butler and Condra each get 5 minutes for fighting. I didn't even know they got those penalties when we were watching the game.
Yeah.
And through the rest of the period, not a whole lot. Couple of more penalties, but nothing else interesting particularly. In the third period, there were several posts hit. My notes say Ryan and Neil, and I think Carlson got one as well. More penalties, nothing particularly interesting. And then Condra gets his third of the night, and the first one that actually counts.
It's unbelievable.
At 7:55. Condra gets a hat trick, and he only gets one goal out of it.
Yeah, you really got a feel for him on that.
Kind of unfortunate.
That I felt bad for.
Kind of unfortunate. And then at 19:19, with the goalie pulled, Chiasson scores, and scores tied. In overtime, it was back and forth. There were fantastic saves at both ends, and I believe Ottawa got two more posts in the overtime. After the overtime, the shots on goal were 33 for Ottawa and 29 for St. Louis. Ottawa also out-hit and out-takeawayed St. Louis through regular play, skating. The only thing that St. Louis won was faceoffs. In the shootout, TJ Oshie, saved by Leonard. Turris, saved by Allen. Steen, saved by Leonard. Hoffman, saved by Allen. Tarasenko, saved by Leonard. And Bobby Ryan wins with a wrist shot past Jake Allen. The one interesting note in this game, Condra had three goals, two of which were waved off. Total time on ice, 9 minutes and 20 seconds.
What? Wow.
Including 3 minutes on the penalty kill. So he had 6 minutes of even strength ice time. He scored three goals.
Well, that guy should get some more ice time, shouldn't he?
Or get pulled in the next game. So there you go. 3-2 in a shootout win.
No, he didn't get pulled.
For the next game? He was back. He was still in for the next game. Greening was out for the next game. McCulloch was in. Game 23 was Senators of the Panthers. Anderson was back in for this as well. This is going to be a pretty quick game summary.
No one wants to remember this game.
Well, I mean, it started off well with Chris Neal scoring at 5:04 in the first period with assists to Condra in leg one. And then 47 seconds later, Dylan Olsen scored to tie the game. And after one period, the shots on goal were Florida 12, Ottawa 11. In the second period, Cody Ceci scored with an assist to Chris Neal at 2:41. And then at 10:08, Chris Neal and Sean Thornton get 5 minutes for fighting, and Chris Neal has the Gordie Howe halfway through the game, almost exactly.
Yep.
And that was right about when the Senators started getting owned, because the shots on goal for the second period were Florida 16, Ottawa 9. And in period three, it was ownage by Florida start to finish. Goal at 34 seconds by Sean Bergenheim, goal at 7:31 by Jimmy Hayes, and the shots on goal were 18-4 in the third period for Florida.
Unbelievable when you're down like that.
And but Ottawa managed to win more faceoffs in this game.
Yeah. But Florida just kept coming in waves.
They played very well. They
46 very, very well. Shots.
Yep. 46 shots versus 24 for the game.
If it wasn't for Anderson, it would have been 10-2. Oh.
Too many times.
Much, much worse.
Way too many times.
The faceoff numbers were good. They were 35-29 for Ottawa at least. Lazar was 5-4. Leguan was 6-13. Not a good game for him. MacArthur was 1-0. He was doing very well in the faceoff. Smith was 7-7. Turris was 10-11.
Perfect.
So there we go. That's that game done. Next, game 23, which was...
It's down the road.
Huh?
Down the road in Tampa.
Up the road?
Up the road.
Up the road in Tampa.
This is so much better than season one.
There you go. Up the road in Tampa. Somebody has this game summary.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
It's and again, I'm just going to be quick here because probably the most interesting stat to Sens fans was this was David Leguan's 1,000th NHL game. And he started off the scoring for the Sens, actually, giving the early 1-0 lead in the first period. But other than that, it just went on downhill. It was Leonard versus Bishop. It was a lot of great saves on both ends. But slowly and surely, Tampa Bay went on to score 4 consecutive unanswered goals and ended up 4-1.
That's a problem.
That's about it.
4 consecutive unanswered goals, that's a problem. To be sure.
Yep.
That's 4-8. Unbelievable. Next game?
Game 24, Tuesday, December 2nd. That would be yesterday.
No, this is going well.
Senators going were really well. In Long Island. On Long Island. You know, in Long Island or on Long Island? Technically, they were on Long Island. They were in...
Long Island.
No, Long Island is an island, so you're on an island.
What's the city name?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
Where the
Glen
veterans... They're in Nassau County. No, Glendale is Arizona.
Oh, yes.
Sunset Islanders.
I'll look that up while
you know why the Florida thing went downhill. It's because they started off playing the Panthers. Normally you'd face Luongo, but of course he was, I guess, injured.
Yep.
So they threw in their backup. So right away, as Sens fans, we knew this is not going to go well. And not only just any backup, but it was Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. And that was it for us.
They play in Uniondale.
There we go.
Yes. Yeah, the other thing about the Florida game was that the coach gave them the morning easy to go and play in the sand.
Frisbee on the beach, right?
Yep.
Shouldn't be doing that in a game day.
Well, not only that, especially because I think they had 4 days between.
Mm-hmm.
So, may not have been totally thought out well, but you want to give these guys a little bit of leash, right?
Could have had it the day before.
Not anymore! No, that leash is gone.
Well,
you were tied right to the bedpost on that one.
They blew it on that one.
Yep. It's never again. Going back to this game. This really flew. First period was pretty good. Lots of back and forth on there. Mike Hoffman with an absolutely beautiful shot from the point. Second period. That's where I think Canuck.
In stereo when people are listening to us the way it just came through for me. That was pretty cool.
Terrible. So again, Craig Anderson leaves us in the game. Clark MacArthur gets a nice goal after to tie it up 2-2 with halfway through the third. And then the Sens just get totally owned in the overtime.
They did have a couple of posts late in the third, though. Two, I believe.
They did.
One by Turris and one by CC?
I think CC had a nice one.
I hate that sound. Well, that actually, sound. I like that sound. The problem is it's frustrating.
Oh, the post.
It's like so close. Bink! Yeah, so the Islanders had 4 shots in the overtime. Sens had 0. Turris caused the turnover. Didn't play the guy hard. Played him on an angle. Played him on an angle. The guy sped up. And from what I believe, on the wraparound, from what I believe, saw that CC was tied up with the guy, so he just banked it off of CC.
Well, CC also had his back to the play because he was trying to chase the guy.
He was covering his guy.
I don't think it was an intentional back off of skate. He was passing across to his partner, but
CC saw it just go for the rebound and hopefully it goes in.
Yeah.
Because if you remember back in the Jacques Martin days when they would just try to pass it through the crease to hope that it went in off the goalie.
Yeah.
I think Hickey saw that as an opportunity. But yeah, Turris was lazy on that play.
Yeah.
Anderson kept him in. And stole that point.
Do we start up the tank now or what? I got it.
Yep. I'm on. It's like you're playing a video game that's hitting like the bomb button. That's it.
That's it. Okay. You know, if it wasn't for the big news that I'm sure we're going to talk about, the optimism in Sens land would not be there.
Yeah, there wouldn't be much to talk about.
No.
I'm not really all that worried. I shouldn't say I'm not all that worried. I'm not all that upset. They played a bunch of pretty tough teams in a row.
That's true.
Florida.
Florida's no, below them in the rankings, but Florida's not a bad team.
No.
They're also moving up the rankings over the past couple of weeks. But I mean, the rest of the teams are, you know, they beat St. Louis, who's the top team in the West, or certainly
that's the frustrating part. They go and have this amazing game against St. Louis, and then...
But the game before that in Detroit wasn't very good.
Exactly.
So, they're consistently inconsistent. That's the...
Yes.
I guess in the standings, they are where we probably thought they were going to be before the puck dropped at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm. But everyone's... Well, not everyone. There are a lot of people who are getting trippy about it because they were higher up earlier.
Well, it's not just that. It's that this season... It's more of a body of work than this season. This is what they did last year too. And we're seeing the same thing over again. It's like they're not learning from their mistakes. If it was just the season sample, I think you could kind of say, well, okay, it's early and they're young. And
well, you're missing Bobby Ryan and Mark Mathot right now too.
And they're also younger this year. We keep getting rid of older...
Spezza.
Replaced by Chiasson. Okay, you have Leg One, but you also have Hoffman, Stone, and Lazar, who between them as a line have what?
Yeah.
50 games in the NHL? Yeah. Chiasson has less than 100?
I'm still not sold on Chiasson.
Oh, he's young. You can't be sold on him yet. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, but I don't know why he's not the one that's going up and down the lineup.
He is. Stone was playing up on the first line last night for a while at least.
Yeah, which pushed Chiasson to second line?
I don't know. I couldn't keep up with it.
Yeah.
Well, again,
he really likes his pairs, eh?
Again, people complain that nothing's being shaken up, but then they complain that the lines are being juggled too much. So you can't win. You can't win. No matter what the coach does, no one's going to be happy. So
and that's the talk now, is the coach in the hot seat these days?
Is changing the coach going to fix the problem? Honestly? I don't know. Because
there's a defense problem. That's right now. And defense is something that can be taught.
Yes. But is changing the coach going to fix the problem? Because if you change the coach, who are you going to bring in? It's not just, we have to get rid of McLean, which is, you know...
Tortorella.
That'll go well. Jacques Martin isn't available. Not that Jacques Martin could come back to this market. Not that Jacques Martin would want to come back to this market. But I don't know. Maybe it's also young coaching. Because, I mean, Jason Smith is a young, in terms of being a coach, hasn't been doing it very long. I don't know.
Oh, if Paul McLean went, and I think it's too early for that, but if he did, they'd probably turn to Luke Richardson and bring him up.
Maybe.
And now you're in big rookie mode now, right?
Yeah, big time.
Big time, absolutely.
With two assistant GMs, because they're doing a lot of the legwork. It's
young team. Young team pretty much everywhere. So, I don't know. Hard to say. I want to ask you guys about in the last... three or four games, we've seen Zibanejad as a healthy scratch, McCulloch as a healthy scratch, Smith as a healthy scratch, the usual Condra and Greening.
Yep.
I didn't really understand. I mean, McCulloch is being McCulloch. I haven't had a problem with his play. I don't think he's being put in a position to succeed very well. But, you know, you can say that about a number of people. Zibanejad, I've made myself pretty clear on that one up to now. I didn't understand Smith as a healthy scratch.
I don't get that one either.
I didn't. That one, I shook my head going, are you sending a message to somebody else and he's the scapegoat?
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then they got creamed in that game too.
Exactly, because they didn't have his grit and his tenacity and his difficult to play againstness. That's really bad English. That's right up there with using compete as a noun.
They need more compete.
No, you can't have compete because you can't have more compete because compete's a verb. You can have more competitive. They can be more competitive, but you can't have more compete. It's a grammatical error. So I just didn't understand the Smith scratch at all. It didn't make any sense to me.
Just made you want to defenestrate?
Throw somebody out the window? I haven't gone quite that far yet. I thought about it.
This is going to be a big word episode, isn't it?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Smith.
So I should break out the Sesquipedalian language?
Sure.
All right.
What?
Makes me perspicacious, I'm sure. Anywho.
Oh, Ravishish.
Anywho, why don't we get into a couple of email? But before we do, I came across...
This really is going to be a short episode.
We're going to work them in among other things.
Okay.
I came up with... I happen to be looking for something completely unrelated, and I came up with a trivia question completely by accident. Of these three players, who has played the most games as an Ottawa Senator?
Alfredson.
Bonk, Fisher... Spezza.
Spezza.
Fisher.
Wrong and wrong.
Bonk?
Fisher at 675.
Oh, yeah, both fish. Yeah.
Spezza at 686, 11 more. Bonk at 689.
Wow. All same barb. Same ballpark.
14 apart, top to bottom.
Because Fisher and Spezza were hurt a lot.
Bonk. I mean, it's not somebody who I would have thought played anywhere near the same number of games as the other two. And he's played a few more as an Ottawa Senator.
But it's probably a lot less seasons, though, because of the injuries.
Maybe. I didn't go with that. I was just looking at games played, and I went...
Yeah, that's neat.
Surprised. A little surprised. Actually, before we talk about email, you wanted to talk about Palladium Drive, and you wouldn't tell me what you wanted to say, so the floor is yours.
So, and I just tried to get this set up, and it didn't really work. I don't understand how to use the internet sometimes.
Kickstart?
My heart?
No. Change.org.
Oh.
But I don't know. We'll figure it out. I know I talked about this back in the forums years ago. But now with Alfredson coming back and doing the retirement, Palladium Drive doesn't really make sense anymore because the building is in the Palladium. And following the names of different streets in the neighborhood, like Silver Sevens, Frank Nybor.
Cyclone Taylor.
Taylor, Huntmar.
Huntmar's an old name in the area.
Oh.
Very old.
Yeah, so...
Frank Finnegan.
That was a bar.
Yeah.
No, but there's a couple others just in the area by Palladium Drive. I know that there aren't that many businesses on Palladium Drive either.
Palladium Insurance.
Well, that's fine.
It's okay.
The YMCA on Palladium Drive.
And...
The Sports Medicine Clinic.
So I am trying to start a petition to bring to the attention of the city to change the name of Palladium Drive to Alfredson Way.
Okay, here's what we're going to do.
Not use change.org?
No. Well, if you want to.
I don't understand this.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
And listeners, get on this too, is tweet some of the city officials. Like Jim Watson's will read stuff on there.
Who else? Pretty accessible on Twitter.
Mention him and get people to retweet it. Retweet if you think Jim Watson should change Palladium Drive to Alfredson Drive.
Well, actually, if our listeners are on Twitter,
that's why I wanted to start an online
petition. Well, I was going to say, if our listeners are on Twitter, why don't you put something on Twitter at that, and all our listeners should retweet it, and that way the retweets show up. If we address the tweet to Jim Watson, every time it gets retweeted, he gets an alert on it.
Yeah,
there you go. So put that out on Twitter.
Yeah, I was just worried about harassing the mayor.
He's a pretty good guy.
That's not harassing.
Good.
He actually probably liked that idea.
Yep.
May not be his call, but. He could help it.
Yes. Yep. So that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, I wouldn't mind getting some type of online petition so that they can track it. Hmm? And we'll figure it out from there. So yeah, I'll do that in the morning or by the morning.
By the morning. Okay. Cool. That's a neat idea. I don't know if it will work, but 100% of shots you don't take. Shot.
It's free.
And I say,
don't take the shot. It never happened.
We should get a statue of Alfredson too.
Out front?
Out front.
Throwing the stick over the glass?
Yes.
Or hitting Tucker from behind?
No, throwing the stick. And or from behind. No, I'm just thinking throw the stick and the arm is animatronic. You know, just kind of.
And just Tucker also makes it into the statue. Lying on his back, faking it.
Yeah, I would buy a Tucker jersey just to do that. I'd be the crumpled heap in front of the statue, just for a good picture. That'd be worth it.
Yeah.
The idea has merit.
It's got separated shoulder written all over it, though. Yeah,
can't say. That could be fun. Well, we're all going to the game tomorrow night. Why don't we talk about that before we move to the... We have a couple of emails to go through, which will give us lots to talk about.
It's just the revenge game against the Islanders, right?
Well, we'll see how that goes. But before the game...
Yeah, I blocked off till 3.
I'm trying to figure out...
I need the 4 hours to get there.
I'm honestly trying to figure out what time I should get there. I'm actually thinking of getting there at around 5:30.
Well, you can get dollar hot dogs anyway.
I know. I can pound back some of those bad boys for a while.
Yeah.
Probably a half dozen.
I'm going to get there early, too.
I think so. I mean, you want to be...
a whole group of coworkers going, I think, there, too. So.
The pregame warm-up starts... If the game is at 7:30, the pregame warm-up starts at 7, doesn't it?
Yeah, Alex said to be there by 7.
So you want
to
be in your seat by 7. So if you want to be in the building...
In your seat by
eating,
7.
You want to be in the building and eating by 6:30 at the absolute latest.
Yep.
Well, I don't know if everyone's going to do that or not.
I think
the place will be packed just to see him step out on the ice in a warm-up.
So I don't think we're going to be able to get down to the 100 level and stand around near the glass. I think
I'm not even trying.
Because I think it's...
Not even trying.
Were we ever allowed to?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no,
I
of course.
Guess you can.
Yeah, we've done it in other arenas. And
I'm not even going to try.
But I don't think tomorrow it'll work. And tomorrow, everybody's listening probably to this. It'll be today, right? So
It'll be quite the moment, I think. The one thing I have to complain about, because I have to complain about something, is I've been listening to TSN Radio today, and their little sounders for the game. Now, technically, I don't think it's their sounders because they're basically advertising that the game will be on the radio tomorrow. The wording of it is, the Senators say goodbye to Alfie. No, they're saying welcome home. They're not saying goodbye. They're saying welcome home. Who writes this stuff?
Simmer.
Well, of all the stupid things to say, we're saying goodbye. No, we said goodbye to Daniel Alfredson last July 5th. We're saying welcome home.
Yes.
It's just the dumbest. And every time it came on today, I'm going,
I did not hear that, thankfully.
When somebody retires from work, do you wish them goodbye? Or is it congratulations on your retirement?
It's congratulations on your retirement.
That's what we're doing.
But it's also welcome home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's welcome home. Sorry, you won't be playing anymore.
So we talked about this in other episodes, and we wished, and it's actually going to happen. He is going to sign a one-day contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do the Modano thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
I'm,
and I think I read news that they, well, not a couple things. Melnick actually tried to get him to come back this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he was a UFA.
Yeah.
But also that even just very recently when he decided to do this, retire in Ottawa, they actually tried to see if they could get him to play a shift.
Oh, really?
Before retiring.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear that
Alfie
part.
Said no to that, but no.
That would kind of...
Just spot us 2 goals instead.
That would kind of ruin the game though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it makes it... Yeah.
Well, it would make the game stop as soon as he stepped on the ice. Like, it would be mayhem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the stands. Absolute mayhem, and you're just going, please don't score on us, please don't score on us, because that would be horrible. Like his one shift, and we get scored on.
Oh, yeah, I could almost see it becoming like a stupid show.
Scratch
right?
him.
Where Alfredson would come in with the puck, and everyone would just kind of get out of the way.
They're not going to let a goal against.
Islanders can't do that.
They wouldn't. They would. No team would let a goal against. Not even.
And Baltimore. Then Ottawa let a goal against.
It's not baseball. Yeah.
Not going to happen. You're not going to get a walk,
pitch out?
An intentional walk to first.
By hitting him with the ball.
Then you can wave your hat at the crowd and then get the hell off the field. I don't see that happening.
Yeah. And you do that, you have the risk.
Karkner still in New York?
He is actually. He was on the radio today. He said his season is pretty much over. He's had to have back surgery.
So I could just picture him like leveling Albertson in the head or something.
No, it's his back. Apparently, he the first shift of a preseason game, I think it was, out it went. He's like, oh, that's not good. He was on the radio today saying, yeah, it was more than my usual discomfort. And
wow,
done for the year, probably. And this is the last year of his three-year contract, too.
But yeah. No, and that's the thing is with risking it on that shift, too, it might turn into the Doug Gilmore welcome back to Toronto, if you remember
that. Oh, dear heavens, do I ever.
Montreal treated
him. Care.
Well, it was kind of nice. Like, well, granted, at that point, I don't think there was the comp or the rivalry between Ottawa and Toronto at the time. Toronto was probably still in the West. But it's kind of nice to see Gilmore go back where he was respected and everything else. Plays against Montreal, the team that traded him back to Toronto, and blows his knee out.
Knee on knee hit.
Career over. Oof. Yeah. Second Leafs.
That place is cursed.
Yep.
Oh, well. Anyway, we can talk more about this probably next week after we've actually gone through it, unless you had anything you wanted to add to that.
Yeah. I'm just excited to see how the city's going to be tomorrow.
I'm interested to see if all the players come on the ice wearing an Alfredson sweater.
I'd think they
would. Oh, that would be confusing.
Well, how would you pick
them out? They did it a lot for his 1,000th game too, right?
Yeah.
Or you had just have the, what'd they do, 11 with your number, or sorry, with your name and then your own number on the sides?
Yeah, so their own name and everybody was number 11.
I can't remember. I was at that game, but I can't remember exactly what they looked like.
Yeah.
I like the tribute, the video tribute that Sens released.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
I'm coming home video? Yeah,
that
very well done.
That kind of choked me up too. So it's that's well maybe something else.
Well played, Ottawa Senators. Well played.
What's with this mic?
Let's get it's because the cable's not wrapped around the fine.
No, it's you're loose.
That too. That's what she said. A screwdriver. If that'll fix it. Interesting. Moving on. First email. Well, we got a couple to get through, and these are going to have, we got some talking points in them as well before we go on to talk about, well, they're all Senators talking points, so we'll get through those before we get on to Binghamton and the rest of the league, because, well, it would fit better here than anywhere else. Man, you have the first one from Kathy.
All right. So from Kathy Cardinal, subject is Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. So while I'm certain, and this is in regards to last week's episode, I believe it was. Well, I'm certainly not one to, I can always screw this up. Thank God you didn't give me the other ones. Well, I'm certainly not one to criticize a hearty round of Schadenfreude. I do have to point out a few errors in your analysis. I don't think anyone thought that Heatley was the key. Kessler maybe, but not Heatley. Bork is not playing well. Heatley's a healthy scratch. He's still back on injured reserves. As you were, Kathy. P.S. I keep hearing your call for emails, but I literally haven't watched a single game in its entirety this season. Just too darn busy. So listening and laughing / with you guys.
That's cool. Kathy, there was an interview on the radio here during the summer, and I can't remember if it was the GM or the coach. It was one of them from Anaheim who was saying that Heatley was going to be given a very long look at playing with Perry and Getzlaf because they thought that he might be the one who would fit in with them. It wasn't something I was saying off the cuff. It was something that somebody from Anaheim really did say. So I didn't realize that Bork was either injured or back on injured reserve because it doesn't show anything like that in all the reference material I can find online. But it was...
I thought this meant that Heatley's still hurt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Heatley's a scratch. I thought it was Bork was a scratch. Okay. So Heatley's a scratch?
Yep.
Watch the games, Kathy.
Easy now. Can't be easy.
Well, they start at 4 p.m. for her.
That's the bad time of day to start watching a hockey game.
I'm at the Ducks games.
Oh. Okay. Well, I thought she was saying she hasn't watched a single Senators game is what she was meaning. Maybe I got that one wrong.
Oh, I took it as Ducks game.
Oh, well, okay. I'm really sad we're not going back to California this year.
You're going?
No, I can't.
Oh.
But that was fun.
Anything else for Kathy's email? Thank you, Kathy. Oh. Good to hear from you.
It's free.
Next, Canuck. You're up with Pesky Jones. This one's a little longer, so if you want to break it up and we'll talk about points, it's up to you.
Sure. So the subject is off-season psychology and injury. From Pesky Jones. Hi, guys. On Carlson. Let's face it. Carlson's easy to play against in his own end. He's taken a bit of a step back. I can't remember a great game yet this season. So, what is it? I'm starting to wonder if he's got some sort of nagging injury from the preseason training camp time. I notice that opponents no longer back up and they see him coming with the puck at the blue line. They're all challenging him. Is he a half a step slower this season? Another possibility is that he didn't focus as intently on training this offseason. Being newly divorced and having basically made it with a long-term deal and captaincy, it's possible he decided to live a little and didn't commit to the gym as much. The previous summer, he clearly went nuts in the gym. If not these two things, then is it psychological? I can't believe he's just overwhelmed. Is he being, is he just lazing in his own end? Perhaps he can't be bothered working hard in his own end. Any way you cut it, the guy is probably getting too much ice time. I'll stop there.
I have a quick response to that, and that's that he's taken several maintenance days over the past couple of weeks. Like he's taken a lot of non-game day skates off, which leads me to think that he might have some sort of lingering injury. I'm not sure.
Or is it that he's playing two games in one night?
Because he's playing more than 30 minutes each night. Could be either one. He could be either really tired or he's nursing something, or it could be even both. I believe I've
so stop playing him so much.
Well, then you'll have.
What else are you going to put it?
Then you're going to have more CC and whoever CC.
More Cowan! More Cowan!
Or you're going to have more Borowiecki Gryba.
Right on.
So, which, of course, people will get up in a flame about that one. But
more penalties. More fights.
Hard to say. Hard to say. Anyway, sorry. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. All right. No more comments on Carlson?
None for me. No. Just that one.
Next topic is Phillips from his email. Phillips, he clearly did something this offseason to get his speed back. He looks faster than I've seen him in years. It's not a small difference. He's a different guy out there. He even looks a bit thinner in the face this year. Probably leaner this year. Perhaps it's that stink bid contract negotiation for his last deal, combined with some personal financial woes from bad investments. Must have been a wake-up call. Glad to see him get back from his recent injury, a great part of our club heritage.
I would agree. Phillips has looked very good so far this year.
He has.
I'm sorry that he keeps getting hurt.
Drinking less beer, maybe, because it's the first year in his new business.
It's a new big rig light.
Big rig light. Little rig.
Maybe he just doesn't have to drive as far to the big rig because of the new one open in Kanata. I don't know where he lives. But if he lives in Kanata, then he doesn't have to drive as far. So he's not commuting as much.
The other thing, too, he's got little rig Lazar in his house now. And you know how little kids are running around. They just keep it on your feet. And
they make you feel younger. Don't they? They wear you out and they make you feel younger, which is a strange combination of factors. But there you go.
It's hard to chase around one of the kids when the kid is a professional athlete. Yeah.
Oh, I love that whole Twitter thing where they know that there's these quasi fake Twitter accounts, you know, Chris texts Curtis and Curtis texts Chris. And they actually, Chris Phillips actually did a Santa photo of him and Lazar sitting on Santa's lap.
And Curtis Lazar was saying it was hilariously fun to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm all into this. Why not? Okay.
It's nice to see him have a sense of humor.
Exactly. And Phillips is playing very well. I've had no complaints about him at all so far this season.
Yeah, you just have to cut down his minutes a bit.
Remember at the beginning of the season, we were like, we got no room on this team for Phillips.
Well, how people change.
Yeah.
Sorry. Anything else?
Zibad. What the heck has happened to this guy? He's looking so good at the center last year with his north-south style. Is it psychology and confidence, poor conditioning over the summer, or is it something else? Was he DJing over the summer?
Dead Mouse again?
Yes. I don't know.
It's the only DJ song I have there.
Oh, okay.
Lack of drive?
I don't know. I believe, did I make it off? I don't think it was while we were recording. I think it was since we recorded last week that I compared him to Alexandre Daigle.
Yeah, that was on text.
You said it. Yeah, it was off air.
By message. Because he's got all the talent in the world. Just doesn't seem to
Kovalev.
I don't want to say care. Doesn't say try hard enough. Doesn't seem. To, I don't want to say doesn't put in enough effort. Just doesn't seem to put it all together properly.
He's great in practice.
Oh, great. Well, maybe
and Kovalev was pouting. It's not. This isn't pouting.
No, he's not.
I don't know. I don't know.
Never angry. He's just kind of there.
I don't know. I don't want to go into the psychological thing. I just don't like the performance. He reminds me of Daigle because we've seen him do more. We've seen flashes of him doing more. He just doesn't seem to do more very often. Hence the comparison. Not a flattering one, might I add.
Do we need a couple more years on this guy to find out what he's going to be?
Shove him on the wing.
I like him better on the wing because he has less responsibility out there.
Yep.
And somebody else can be playing center like Smith. Yeah. So I'm okay with that. But I don't know. I've run out of ideas. I think I ran out of ideas on Zibanejad about 3 episodes ago. I don't have any more. I really don't.
And outside of healthy scratching him, do you think the team knows what to do with him?
Nope. Can't send him down anymore.
Nope.
Dope.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Can you give up and trade him?
Wow. So, conclusion of Pesky Jones' email. This is not a team struggling to replace Spezza. This is a team still struggling to replace Alfredsson. We need more guys to step up like Phillips, not key guys taking a big step. Never miss a show, guys. All the best to you, Pesky Jones. Well, we get Alfredsson back, so... problem solved.
Well, get him back, just not on the ice. So, possibly true. Thank you, Pesky Jones. Always good to get email because it gives us stuff to talk about.
Now, Speaking of email.
I have a long one.
That's what she said.
The subject line. Really? Thanks. No, I didn't know she said that. That's great. I appreciate the vote of confidence. Anyway, this one is an email from Paul, and it is a long email, so we'll have to break this up in a couple of places, but he's got some good things for us to talk about in here. Hey, Sense Gollops, here's my 2 cents. Subject number one, talent.
Sorry, I haven't used that in a long time.
Easy now.
While I do agree that this roster lacks talent to make a splash in the playoffs, I truly believe there's enough here to get in and even surprise a team in the first round. The main problem is trying to shove players into roles they aren't made for. Instead, coaches to try to put our players in situations to succeed. Let me explain. Number one, say what you want about Zibanejad, but he is not a second-line center. The team can wish all they want. He will never be anything more than a third-line NHL center. He's a Mike Fisher with way less fight. If a team/coach would put him in a third-line center/checking role, I'm convinced he would thrive, but they would have to stop pushing him to become a second-line offensive producing center. Expectations are out of whack with him. Okay, moving on to Terps, but we'll stop there. I just
thought of a name for Zibanejad.
Mm-hmm.
The Tin Man.
If I only had a heart.
No heart.
Hmm. No, I wouldn't say he's got no heart. I wouldn't say that. He just doesn't
seem to desire it.
I'm not. I don't paint people with psychological profiles. I just look at the results. I can't say that he's not desiring it. I can't say that he doesn't care. I can't say that he's listless. It's just... he's not producing the way that I expected him to, given what we saw him do in the last 25 games of last season. Because last 25 games of last season, he produced a heck of a lot more and did a lot more and showed a lot more drive than we're seeing now. But, Torres.
Here's an idea for you. Holding on that.
I am holding on.
I guess I got to go now. If you finally accept to put Zibanejad on the wing, because Lazar will be either 1C or 2C at some point very soon, Antoine Vermette's going to be a UFA at the end of the year.
No, I don't think so.
He's older. He's got experience. He likes the area. He got 24 goals last year.
Playing in at least a pseudo number one role in Arizona because they don't have anybody else.
Yeah, so if you put him to second line center. Not first line. Leave Turris there for now.
No, I don't think so because that would mean we would have Zibanejad,
put him
Smith,
on
Leguan, and Lazar. That's 4 centers to put. Now, Smith doesn't play well on a wing. I don't ever want to see Smith back on a wing again. I want to see him play as a center because he was struggling earlier in the season playing as a winger. He's a much better centerman.
I think Paul's onto something because we talk about being consistently inconsistent, not able to get up for some of these big games and not able to get up for small teams and just being completely random. Maybe there is a psychology issue going on.
It's not beyond the realm of possibility. Not at all. Could be. Can't say, but...
It doesn't seem to be talent.
No, I wouldn't say it's talent. I think it's still trying to... Some players are square pegs in round holes that maybe we have too many square pegs.
It is?
Yeah.
We have too many square
pegs.
We
have a lot of guys that are very, very similar.
Yeah. And it's not that they're bad players. It's not that they're bad guys. It's not that they don't care or anything like that. They're just not... They're trying to put player who's a square peg into a round hole, and they don't fit. Or if they fit, they leak. Hence turnovers, okay, etc. It's just I don't think they're being put in the position where they can succeed given what talents they have. And it's unfortunate because that's what we have. These are the players we have. So unless they can be shuffled around, I don't know if we can expect the results to change. And that's not blaming Brian Murray. It's just the way that these players have turned out is maybe different from what the expectations were.
So you think there's a roster move that's going to be had closer to the trade deadline?
Has to be.
I don't think it'll have to be taken even that long.
Actually, you're right. We got the whole roster issue with Mathot coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was a whole lot of talk today.
Weerkosh wasn't on the ice.
Weerkosh wasn't on the ice.
Yeah.
Because he and Carlson and Leonard were all taking maintenance days.
So playing frisbee on the beach.
You know,
if they were down at Britannia, it's probably a little cold this morning with the snow, but all right. Maybe they went to Mooney's Bay or Westboro Beach. No, I'd be a little chilly for that. I don't know. I still think there's quite distinctly a possibility for a move to happen, but it takes two to tango. Then again, we've seen Rene Bork get traded. So there's certain... I'm wondering whether Brian Murray is trying to make a trade and everyone's waiting going, he has to make a move at some point. I'm not going to offer a trade for Weerkosh or Greiba or Greening because I'm going to wait for them to go on waivers and get them for nothing.
Yep. Unless you package them up.
Maybe he's trying that too. I don't know. He's certainly not afraid of packaging players up to make deals. So I don't know. Or maybe teams are waiting to see if Ottawa does start going downhill. Oh, well, your first round pick is maybe in the top 10. Okay, now I'll trade you X, Y, and Z for X, Y, Z, and Q. But Q is your first round pick.
Yep. Well, that's not going to get anything.
Who's just, well?
Ottawa's not going to give that up if you're falling.
I don't think so, but it depends on what's being offered. I'll trade my first round pick for your first round pick because I want to get up, and I'll also trade you whatever. I don't know. It's a very, very complicated question because everything is fluid and moving and everything else. So at the moment, I think we just have to see. I don't really know what else you can do at the moment. Getting anything else on?
No, let's go back.
Okay. Now, point number two, Kyle Turris. Number seven is a great second-line center, but he is not a first-liner. He's proving it in the face-off circle every night. He can't compete with the Bergerons and Crosbys of this league, and we can't underestimate the importance of these face-offs.
Now, can compete with the Bergerons and Crosbys of this league?
Exactly. We'll get there.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, we'll stop. No, we'll stop there right there. There are probably a top 10 centers who are all first-line centers in this league, and then there's everybody else.
Yeah, like can't compete with those guys.
And he's not going to. He's really not. And
not to take away his point. It was just a...
No,
that's how you put Leguan out there against him, actually.
Well, Leguan has good games and bad games when it comes to winning faceoffs, unfortunately.
But I think that depends on who he's going up against.
Yeah. I'll grant you that he does have the offensive talent to be a number one, but in that case, he would need a faceoff specialist to take all the important draws. The problem with this is it would get very complicated with chains on the fly to reestablish the lines. Yeah, I think we just covered that. Excellent. On to number three, Bobby Ryan. Bobby Ryan is a great player, but not the type that can carry a line. He needs a quick, smart, and imaginative center like Turris. Ryan always jumps up at you when he's playing with Turris and MacArthur, but disappears when paired off with other players. It's just the way he is. The coach needs to recognize this and start using him accordingly. Setting him up to fail does not help the team. I know McLean wants, or should I say wishes, for a balanced attack, but our options are limited. Scattering the limited talent on all the lines produces very weak results. It's a no-brainer to reunite Ryan with Turris and MacArthur and also keep the kid line together. Well, what about the other two lines, you say? Who cares? It's better to have two lines working than none at all because we want a balanced attack. Let me also underline the fact that along with these two proven lines, we can also build a great checking line with Savannah Jad as the centerman. I don't disagree. I've actually been advocating that.
We don't have any trouble building checking lines.
Yeah, we've got lots of those.
We've got lots of them.
We've got lots of those.
It's right. We need to establish a couple of lines that score.
I believe we've brought that up several times already this season, that Turris, MacArthur, and Ryan should be together. Not take Ryan off to try and start somebody else up. Put him back with Turris to reestablish that as a line that other teams need to fear. Genuinely fear that they have to put their top defensive line out. They have to put their top pairing out against because they have to. And that means that the kid line or whoever our other second line happens to be when we cobble together what or whatever, have a better shot. We've already talked about that. I agree wholeheartedly.
And I think other teams do it too, where it's like when you've got McCullough's advantage on Chase on as a second line, just leave them together and then over. They're not screwing up.
Nope.
So just let it run.
And they've also been playing some very good defense against other number one lines.
So unless you're just getting owned and scored against, like what you're saying there, let them ride. Let them figure it out on their own instead of just changing a winger every game or during the game.
I'm getting a little tired of it, to be honest. But
why not try? You've tried everything else. Let them ride. These are your four lines. You run those four lines and that's it.
And people are complaining, just as an aside, this isn't from the email. People are still complaining. I'm still seeing people complaining on Twitter that Chris Neal gets too much ice time.
Well, that's Twitter. Twitter is just
he's the lowest time on ice of the team. And by the way, he's tied for third in plus minus.
You get people that don't like Anderson, that don't like Leonard.
He's playing the perfect game.
Yes.
Yes.
He is.
Yep.
And people are still complaining, well, it's because I don't like Chris Neal. Well, it's not because you have a firm grasp on the way the game of hockey works in three dimensions. But all right. Dimwits. There are some out there. I'm not ranting on them yet, but I am getting close. System. Getting back to the email. I've tweeted this 1,000 times. We have no system. If we do have one, it's way too liberal for the talent on the team. The way this team is built, we have to play a structured game focusing on defense first, defense second, and defense last.
No, we are a puck possession team and we will possess the puck.
It should be.
Even when we don't possess it.
It should be all about defense and winning 2-1 games. A puck possession system is great in theory, but you need the talent to execute that kind of high-risk, high-reward game, and we don't.
Nonsense. The name is Kanata, and it means great nation.
Yeah.
You know where I'm going with this.
A heritage moment.
Yes.
The coaching staff should take pride in playing with structure in our zone. No freelancing allowed. A huge sign of this is completely opposite of what the coach is thinking is the fact this year, we're putting an emphasis on the forecheck and spending less time in our D zone. What? There is some thought to this idea, but why try to mask a problem instead of fixing it? Again, we're trying to fix our defensive issues with an offensive solution. I repeat, we do not have this kind of team. To play a structured system like I'm advocating, every single player needs to be held accountable, even Erik Karlsson. Everyone needs to stay within the system, even Erik Karlsson. The thing is, our dear captain doesn't like or want to play in our zone, and sadly, this is accepted slash tolerated by our coaches and even rewarded with 30 minutes of ice time every night. What kind of example are we setting? I've said it before, and I'll set it again. It's unbelievable how much a team takes after its captain. I can't explain why it always works that way, but our team is no exception. So if we want to have some structure, we need to harness our leader. He wants to be fancy in the offensive zone, be my guest, if he has the support of the third forward. If he has support from the third forward. But first, we need to play in our own zone. Don't want to do that? Here is where the ice time would go way down. And this is right about when I would get fired. He wants ice time, play within the defensive system in our own zone. Pretty long rant on that. I do find that the whole... I don't have a problem with the whole concept of puck possession. We don't seem to be able to hold on to it very well.
Yes.
We get possession of it pretty well. We just...
You get your one shot and then the other team gets it.
Well, no, I wasn't even going to go that far. I was going to say we get possession of it. Okay. We don't necessarily keep possession of it.
Yeah.
I believe it was Dean Brown said on the radio today that the Senators actually... It might have been in the game the other night. The Senators are the masters of the four-foot pass. Unfortunately, it's a six-foot game. And they're getting... That we get possession of the puck, and it's a six-foot pass to the guy who's on the out, but we only make a four-foot pass, and that's onto somebody else's stick.
Yeah.
And That seems to be the problem. Like they, we get possession, own, yeah. we don't keep it.
And you see it a lot where they'll just pass it to the, right to the other team.
Yep. And I don't
know why.
I don't know why that's happening. It doesn't. It seems. I mean, as an armchair 300 level coach and general manager, I can fix this problem by saying stop doing that. But how do I get them to stop doing that? But how to get them to stop doing that? That's where they make a lot more money than I do.
By doing something!
They get paid to be there. I have to pay to be there. So therein lies the difference in our analytical ability. Just to finish off this email, we can talk about it in just a second.
Hold on. Is systems?
Yes.
So you don't want Erik Karlsson to have his liberties offensively?
Those are his words, not mine.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This is sounding a lot like the Ovechkin argument.
You may not be incorrect in that, sir.
I hate the TSN website.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They've improved it backwards in a big way.
It's like a giant mobile app that doesn't make sense.
The mobile app's easier to use.
Yeah.
I find the app on my phone easier to use than their website, mm-hmm. to be completely honest. Which is why I'm no longer using their website very much.
All right.
Sad to say.
The Sens have scored 61 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Karlsson has 17 points. He's been getting a point on 28% of the team's goals. Reel him back to make him play defense. What happens to those goals?
They skyrocket. I just want to see your look.
Did I say this wrong?
Freakonomics.
So this team has issues scoring goals, and now you want your top point getter to slow it down and stand in front of the net properly.
What's his plus minus?
Awful. -8.
Okay.
What's his Corsi?
I don't know.
I still can't understand that one. Because I still can't keep Fenwick versus Corsi straight. So
yeah.
It's with the ball shots.
Oh.
Whatever.
Don't know pas savoir.
But he's -8. Could having a much better defensive partner reduce that? Because when you have him just buzzing around.
It depends on who. I don't think that the problem is his defensive partner. Because when
it was at the start of the year, though.
When he was playing with Chris Phillips, demolished. It was fine. Oh, he played but 3 games with Cowan. I mean, they've played 20 games since
they're
then.
They're getting scored a lot. So that hurt the plus minus dramatically.
But playing with Chris Phillips, I haven't seen a real problem. But Phillips is also moving to play with CeCe because other people have been playing with Karlsson as well.
In, yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know whether reining Karlsson in. I think reining him in a little bit would pay short-term pain in reduced points and long-term gain in setting a better example on how to play. Play smarter, not flashier. Play smarter. It may not be as good on the offense, but play smarter. Play smarter, play smarter, play smarter, play smarter.
Well, I think there's other people who can set that lead, too, without stifling Karlsson's creativeness.
True, but he is the captain. And everybody, as he said, a lot of people will play the way the captain plays because he is the captain. I mean, yes, he is Erik Karlsson, and you shouldn't try and do what he does because he's one of a handful of players in the world who can do what he does, just like lots of other players.
There's play the way the captain's playing. There's play with the level of intensity the way the captain's playing. The other players aren't going to be able to do what Karlsson does, but they can look and like, oh my gosh, he's really like going for it out there. I want to get out there and go for it in my way too.
Just get him the puck and then make sure that you're covering.
I was going to say, I don't think it's try and imitate his play.
Well, this isn't give the ball to Michael Jordan and just watch. I mean, it's not
imitate his play because you can't do that.
No.
But imitate the way he's playing. And he is, I'm choosing my words very carefully. He's careless. He's not reckless. He's careless.
He's trying to carry too much on his shoulders.
He's trying to do too much and he's playing the low percentage plays hoping they will work. And I think that's
what does that remind you of? Or who?
Jason Spezza?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of where I was going without actually thinking that I hadn't reached that point along the road yet. But yes, he's and that's where I think that if you need to rein him in to make him a little less reckless slash careless, whatever word you want to use, I think that would be worthwhile. I'm not sure, but I think it might be something that the team needs to think about as a whole, especially as a coaching group. But just to finish off this email, I'm positive that these minor tweaks will change the identity of the franchise without major changes to the roster. At this point, you have to wonder if McLean is the guy who can do it. Maybe so. Or do I know who would be better than him? No. I don't have a name, but give me some time and I could take care of that hire. Now, you may disagree with some of this. Okay, maybe most of this. But all of it? Okay, I'm not having trouble with the... It's not my reading, it's the words here. Okay. But we can all agree sure. that what is being Play done now is not working. There we go.
That's a really bad sentence.
To have the view that Coach McLean has, well, we need talent. To have talent, we need money. To have money, we need to have an owner that wants to spend. I'll disagree with that last
part. Disagree with that, too.
It has nothing to do with money.
No.
Because you can't... There was nothing in the free agent crap this past summer that would have fixed this. Nothing. And we also have lots of cap space because we have a lot of players who we're going to need to sign over the next few years, unlike teams which are struggling to make sure they have cap space for next year because they're already at the cap and they have players who they're going to have to renew and they don't have any money because the cap may not be going up.
Sens fans are going through the different stages of grief. There's the, and I think some of us in this room are starting to get into that acceptance phase where it's like, oh, this is the team we are. The other people are really angry, you know, and they got to do something.
Well, I was... But,
you know, I want to hold that thought for a second. Yeah. I'm going to take it back and let's go back full circle to the full optimism, hopeless, or not, very hopeful, rabid fan who has his head in the clouds. Let's go back up there for a minute. And let's think of 2006, 2007. Right about this time of year, Brian Murray as coach. It was not working. The team was out of the playoff position. Hanging by a thread did not look very good. And what happened that year? They turned it around second half, squeaked in, but sixth spot?
Something like that, yeah.
In the playoffs, went on to the finals.
They're not a bottom feeder yet. They're sitting 10th, but they're not a bottom feeder, but they're not in a playoff spot.
Was 2007 Heatley's first year?
Second.
Okay.
This, I think.
This team doesn't have the talent that the 07 team had.
We got Alfie back now.
Should we just get Alfie to run the practices?
Take a job in the
What we need here is some enthusiasm. I don't disagree with you. I know that's a very good analysis that I hadn't actually thought that far about. I was actually sitting thinking about this when I was reading this email last night or the night before. And I think Brian Murray's words were very prophetic. I think he simply put the wrong time frame on them. He said this team was having a three-year rebuild. I think it only started last year. I think the first 2 years of the rebuild weren't, because there was still a lot of changeover going on. There was still a lot of changeover happening, Last year and this year, that's when the young team that's really going to move forward was more on the ice.
I think they've had pieces move that they didn't expect.
And I think that last year, this year, and next year are the 3 years that are the rebuilding years, not the first two where we made the playoffs or made the playoffs in the second round. I think it's now.
So it's like three dog years rebuild.
No, I think it was just delayed. And I don't have a problem with that because the team so overachieved in those first 2 years that you got to bottom out at some point. Everybody bottoms out. Boston 10 years ago, Pittsburgh 12 years ago.
I'm telling you, I'll take it this year. I'll take it.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened because it has to at some point. It absolutely has to. Or if it doesn't happen, we are condemned to what we're going through.
Yep.
We might make the playoffs. We might not. We might make the playoffs. We might not. And that will continue in perpetuity. Nobody wants that. I certainly don't. But those are your two options.
Were the Philadelphia Flyers then?
Talk about a team that's bottomed out this year.
He's like that guy in Toronto, like, I give you cash. Bring me your players.
You realize Buffalo's not last in the league anymore? We'll get to that in a second.
Wow.
Yeah. Because they're playing a lot better than the first 10 games of the season lately.
Yeah.
But.
By the way, Paul, thank you for the email. Good talking points.
Very good. We may not agree with all of them, and we certainly debated quite a few of them, but lots to talk about. And that was. A little long, but still very good. Thank you very much.
Do you know why you don't agree with a lot of this? You know who this is?
What?
The email. You know who sent this email?
No.
Molar Doctor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't care.
It's like, after you read that, it's like, oh, yeah, it's him. This makes sense now.
Oh, well, I should have let that snappy run.
Let's go back and cut it out this segment.
Yeah. I wouldn't change what I've said, so yeah. No big deal.
It's rare that we agree with him.
Granted,
this year I found that I agree with him a lot more. But
I can agree with people who make a rational point much more readily than people who make an emotional one, but that's just my character more than anything, or at least the way I shape my character.
Well, no, random fact.
Sure.
We were just followed by sexy chubby girls on Twitter.
Got to get to 2,000 followers.
My life is complete.
The description is sharing the sexiest BBW chubby girl pictures.
Oh, boy. Do our listeners really need to know that? Well, maybe if they want to get somebody that they want to follow on Twitter, it's up to them.
Who knows?
Okay, there's another new one. Moving on. quick talk about Binghamton, just before we move on, out of the Senators world. The Binghamton Senators are now 9-8-2-1.
Oh, so they've turned it around.
They've turned it around quite a bit. They are now, they're in third place in their division, but only, I think, 1 point back of second place. They have the fifth best power play in the league.
Pajot?
No, the Prince. Power play.
Yeah, but who's getting them?
It's all Pajot.
Shane Prince was the AHL player of the week last week.
4 goals in 2 games.
5 goals, 5. 1 assist in 3.
It's because Pajot let him score, that's why.
Maybe so.
He runs that team.
No, Chris Weidman does. Chris Weidman leads the league in points.
He's doing amazing.
He's a defenseman. He leads the entire league in points, and he's tied for the league in goals. Tied for the lead in
as
goals.
A defenseman.
And he's a defenseman. He has 11 goals so far this season. So Binghamton, doing better. Good to see. Just talked about Buffalo a sec. Buffalo is 5-2 in their last 7 games.
Because you know what? I think people woke up and they realize, if we tank and we get McDavid, we may not have a job. We better start playing.
Well, I don't know if it's quite that simple. I think they're just better than they were. They're whatever they're doing not as badly. Or people are
playing the backups.
People are joking. People are just considering them a joke and getting surprised. But they've actually beaten. Didn't they beat St. Louis the other day? They beat some top ranked team. I can't remember who it was. I just remember going, Buffalo? Okay. News yesterday, I think it was, Martin Brodeur signs a 1-year, $700,000 contract with St. Louis.
Yep. You know what his bonus structure is?
No.
$10,000 per point earned.
$10,000 per point earned. So $20,000 a game
team
if he wins.
If he wins.
Team point, right?
Could you imagine going into the shootout with that pressure on?
$10,000 on whether I stop this puck. Well, I think it's interesting that they signed him. And just the news came out today, and I didn't make it into our notes because I'd already written them out for the show for tonight, that Brizgalov is in Anaheim on an PTO. You know, the team that cut him loose a few years ago and who had Fast and all the other goalies, some of whom are hurt and some of whom they've traded.
Yeah. You know who let him go? From Anaheim?
Burke?
Yep.
Was Burke still there?
Yep. He was doing him a favor because he couldn't trade him.
Because nobody wanted him, so they let him go.
No one knew him, yeah.
And
where'd he go, Arizona or Phoenix?
Phoenix.
Phoenix made a name for himself.
Yep.
Then got bought out from...
No. Then he went to Philly, signed a crazy contract.
That's right. Then he went to Philadelphia, got bought out there.
Then he went to Thermos Gate.
Minnesota. And they traded him to Edmonton last year.
Right. That's right. I was missing the step to Edmonton.
Wow.
And now he's back in Anaheim. Because they've had so many goalies that they've traded away. They had so many goalies at this time last year.
Well, you know what the problem is?
Injury.
It was Hiller. Hiller was a problem.
Yes. Because he's so terrible in Calgary right now. Unreal.
Listeners can see that eye roll. Oh. That was a classic eye roll.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But yeah, so Brodeur signs. We'll see how that one goes. Couple of other quick things around the league. We'll finish this up and get out of here. LA Kings got fined $100,000 the other day.
Yeah.
Now, if I was the owner, I'd be going, who's paying this fine? Because who made the decision to let this happen? It's coming out of your salary. Because they let Slava Voynov attend a practice.
Because they let him attend a practice.
Yeah, he was actually in a practice. He's suspended. He's not allowed to take part in anything associated with the team.
Oh, I thought they were fined because they suspended him without the...
Oh, no.
Lawsuit going through.
No, like, no, he's suspended.
The league suspended him.
Yeah, okay. Which means he can't do anything.
With the team.
And the team said, oh, yeah, we're having a... This was yesterday, I think it was.
Open skate?
Yeah, come on. No, it was a practice. It was a real practice.
Was it? Okay.
It wasn't even... The practice hadn't even...
I think it was an optional skate, but everybody showed up.
And the league slapped a fine on them within about an hour of it happening, going, yeah. How could you be that dumb? Well, here's 100,000 reasons why you won't do it again. Wow. So was it the coach or the GM who said, yeah, Slava, come on in. That'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Somebody had to know he was there.
They'll take that seriously, which I'm not saying is a bad thing at all. And then they'll like slap a 5K or $2,500 fine for something else, which is much bigger.
Yeah, for hitting.
Well, sorry, I don't want to say that, but you know, it's some stuff that happens on the ice, let's say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Lundqvist gets fined $11,000 for spring water on someone.
Yeah.
Can't say.
Yeah, you know how the Kings were looking for a cap?
Yeah, you're looking for cap relief for him?
Cap relief? Yeah, I don't think the league's going to give that to them anymore.
Maybe not. Well, you going to do that again? We'll see. Montreal signed Brendan Gallagher to a 6-year deal.
They love Brendan Gallagher. Yes, they love Brendan Gallagher.
They do. That's a really long contract to sign with a small guy who plays big. Because he does. He plays big. He's not big. I can't imagine he's going to be able to play that game for another 6 years.
What team is it again?
Montreal. They like their little players. I know that.
Yeah.
But I think it's a chancy move to sign somebody who plays that style of game for that long a term. Well, maybe that's they were trying to get in under the cap, but it's an awfully long time. Not really.
Montreal doesn't have to worry about that.
Well, they do for next year.
To get under the cap?
Depending on who if they have players to sign and stay under it, because the cap may not be going up with the Canadian dollar dropping.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, this is a movable contract. This is a really movable contract.
That could be entertaining to watch.
I wonder how much hockey pull has in the government, whether the Bank of Canada and the federal government will actually influence how they do stuff just to bring the dollar back up for hockey.
Well, I think the biggest reason the dollar is dropping is because the price of oil is dropping. It's not Bank of Canada fiscal policy. It's because the price of oil is dropping. So the value of our exports is dropping.
I can't speak cheaper. On this.
Good. Well, not good, but it's wise that you...
And the world is reinvesting in the U.S. dollar and forgiving.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
Spit it out!
Okay.
Spit it out!
Two other quick things, and I think we might be getting close to getting done. Very sad news last night that one of the absolute icons of this game died at age 83. And that's Jean Béliveau, who was 10 years, or sorry, won 10 cups as a player, and was 10 years the captain of the, 10 cups in 18 seasons, which means he had more cup-winning seasons than non-cup-winning seasons in an 18-year career.
Wow.
Different league, eh?
Oh, totally.
Still.
Oh, wow.
Still. 10 out of 18.
It's been a rough couple of weeks for hockey world, in that sense. You've got Pat Burns and Béliveau, and even the news with Gordie Howe, I guess, last Pat night.
Quinn. Sorry, Quinn, I think Quinn you mean. Pat too. Burns was last
sorry.
Year.
Sorry. Yeah,
Pat Quinn. Well, Pat Burns made it into the Hockey Hall of Fame post.
It's Pat Quinn I was thinking of. That's right.
Couple of things that I had completely forgotten about Jean Béliveau, which they were talking about it on the radio today. He didn't want to play for the Habs. He didn't. He was playing in the Quebec Senior League. He didn't want to play for Montreal. So Montreal bought the entire league he was playing.
I think I remember.
To get the rights to him. I had forgotten this. They bought an entire hockey league. It's
Montreal typical.
Well, back in the day, they had the rights to every player from Quebec.
Oh, I know.
But they had to sort of engineer those rights to get him to come and play for him. The other thing is, Jean Béliveau, who was playing, he retired after 18 years in 1971. So he started playing in 1953. I don't remember him playing, but I remember him just after he finished playing, because he was still a really, really big, big icon in the hockey world. So he started playing in 1953, and he was 6'3" and 205 pounds as a center.
In 1953.
Like, so that's big for a center today.
Now, he would be 8'2".
Well, he'd be huge.
With appreciation.
Yeah. I mean, a 6'3", 205-pound center is a good-sized center today. But you look back 30, 40 years ago, like, they just weren't that size. I looked up, just for fun, I looked up Larry Robinson, who was the first really, really big player I can remember playing for Montreal. And Big Bird was 6'4", 225. And he was a giant among Lilliputians when he was on the ice. So and Joel Beliveau wasn't far from that.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind. Because, I mean, I knew he was tall, but I didn't know he was quite that big.
Yeah, in that period, he would probably just bowl over your competition.
He didn't play. No, that's more of a Rocket Richard thing. Joel Beliveau was a finesse player. He was a very much a finesse, kind of a gentlemanly kind of player.
So stride out the competition then? Must have been.
Yeah, he was just big and strong, but he didn't run people over. He wasn't smash him up, you know, I'm going to run right through you kind of hockey player. He was a very much a finesse kind of guy, but who just happened to be really big, really big and strong. So you couldn't just sort of wipe him out along the boards because he was just way bigger than most other players. So very sad. And I mean, the news is that Gordie Howe is not doing well either. So we might be losing yet another
icon.
Another icon, exactly. A big name. Yeah. A big name.
And I think, wasn't Beliveau behind the bench for all the Hab games?
He has his name on the cup for other cup wins through the
season. No, but during the games, because he sits like right behind the bench.
Close to it. Well, he was working for the Habs for decades.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was around all the time.
I was sure I saw him talking to the players just a couple games ago, too.
And one of the interesting stories that came out on the radio today about him was he was talking to, I can't remember who it was who was telling the story. I think it was actually Murray Wilson, former Hab, was telling the story of advice that he was giving younger players. And this was one of the most interesting.
Shoot!
No. Have a legible signature. Mm. If you're going to give people autographs, if they're going to take the time to come and get an autograph from you, make sure it's legible. It's going to be something very valuable to them. Don't just make it a squiggle. Make it something presentable.
It's all
something
squiggles important. Now, too.
Yeah. But that's just the kind of guy he was. Because he wanted, I mean, you could ask Joel Beliveau for an autograph anytime. And he would have said, absolutely. Absolutely. He carried a Sharpie in his jacket pocket till the day he died. Always had a Sharpie. Because somebody might ask him for an autograph.
Imagine how angry his wife would be when he wouldn't empty out his pockets.
Yeah. Oh, you ruined the wash again.
Well, my folks used to see him down in Barbados every winter. And charming gentleman. Just, you know, smile. People would, you know, go over and say hello. He'd always stand up and smile and shake their hand and be very pleasant. Just, that's the kind of guy he was. So, bit of a loss. Bit of a loss in the hockey world, I would say. I've run out of things to talk about. You guys have anything else you wanted to add?
I got to get better lighting in here so that way I'll bring up the mood.
I'm having a bad week and I'm tired. So it hasn't been the highest energy episode for me tonight. It's just
I'm with you there. A good one.
That's all right. It's free.
Yeah. Well, we always...
Hey, and by the time you're listening to it, it's Alfie Day.
We may not be super high energy, happy and joking, but we've been insightful. So we're allowed to have shows of different characters. They don't all have to be the same.
Some shows are good.
And some shows are insightful. Okay. Could be worse. There we go.
Is that seriously it?
I don't have anything else to talk about.
I've got nothing else
either. Okay. Did you want to talk about anything about the Facebook page?
We have a Facebook page. If I can figure out this petition, I will put it in there. So make sure to join. Search us under Sliding Scallops.
We'll also put a link in. We'll put a link to it into the online forums at sendscallops.com. It'll be on Twitter. It'll be all over the place. We'll have lots of links to it.
Leave us a voicemail, folks.
Please.
Yes.
Yeah, call us up. Maybe we'll have a little contest. The first few people that call might get a little prize. Yeah, you never know.
Got some bobbleheads. I got a bunch. Actually, I have a box behind you that says Sens merch.
I have some scarves. And
we got stuff we can give away if you're willing to call in and...
But you got to call in and give us something, not just, hi, it's me, give me a prize. No, it's got to be, you got to come up with something good. It's got to be something usable.
Yeah.
Or extraordinarily funny.
And the number is 1-844?
844.
844-SCU-6565.
Yeah, I screwed that one up. Yeah.
Oh, I fixed it, don't worry.
That's all right. So the week to come, tomorrow night, Thursday, December 4th, The Islanders are in town to play the Senators. It's Alfie night. All three of us will be there in various parts of the building. Actually, I guess, yeah, various parts
of the building. Half the city's going to be there somehow.
Yeah, it's going to be full. It's going to be a raucous. And I will be wearing one of my Alfredson sweaters. I haven't decided which one yet.
And they're going to wear the red. The home reds, they said tomorrow.
Or are they?
Oh, yeah.
Like this color. Not the listeners, this color right here that I'm pointing to.
yeah, not, I ended
that's
up
clearly a cerise, not a red.
Clearly. Clearly.
They're not wearing the throwbacks for...
Not tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well
I'm wearing fine. My...
Well, I guess, yeah.
I'm wearing my Heritage, because right now I just have a Heritage and white.
Well, I have a Heritage Alfredson, and I have a SNES Alfredson.
Oh, Heritage.
I'm not sure which one I'm wearing yet. It's going to be one or the other.
Wow. The Mars bars?
Might be the Mars bar. Might be wearing the Mars bar.
Remember the old Snickers? There with the Peace Tower logo and the bar across it.
Well, I have the original Peace Tower one.
Yeah.
From the actual launch of the franchise. I do have one of those at home, but I don't really wear that to games.
Seriously, how do I do this?
I don't know. We'll talk about it offline.
Change.org is done.
The next game 26, is Saturday. The Senators are in.
Instead of petition to make this easier.
Next game is against the Islanders.
We already talked about that one. That's why I'm saying the next game after that.
Oh, okay.
So
game 26. That must be bedtime.
It is. Saturday, December 6th, the Senators are in Pittsburgh for a 1 o'clock in the afternoon game.
Woohoo!
Yeehaw.
See, that's funny because I got a Christmas party that night.
That's also on TSN 5 and RDS. And then on Sunday night, the Senators are back at home.
I'm there!
The Canucks are in town, and that one is on City TV and TVA and the NHL Network in the U.S.
Oh, right after the Maryland show, or what?
Can't say.
Steve and Chris?
Don't know.
Well, good thing Walking Dead's over now.
I got to watch that. I did watch it. That's right. So they're done for the whole season? No,
January.
Okay, it's Sons of Anarchy. Like, I need to catch the last one there.
I don't watch either of these shows. I've watched Sons of Anarchy a couple of times, but Walking Dead, no interest. I actually watched it. I'm like, this does not do a thing for me at all. Nothing. So.
You need to watch it in a series.
The whole zombie thing just doesn't interest me at all.
Oh.
It, bleh, whatever.
Is it because it's brainless? Brain
dead? Folks, if you like our show, please make sure you give us a review on iTunes with 5 stars. Well, yeah, we could always use more reviews on iTunes.
If you think that we're insightful, just say that we're insightful and give us 5 stars.
Absolutely right.
Use big words if you want.
Sure. All big words are always good. If you want to call us up to our waiver wire at 844-SCU-6565 with a clever use of big words, that might just win you a prize. In the meantime, email us at podcast@senscollops.com. Contact us via Twitter, Facebook, the online forums, the waiver wire. On behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal saying thanks very much for listening. Good night.
Later. You want to say your usual sentence there, Cardinal?
Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the son of York.
Sure.
SpongeBob SquarePants!
For God's sakes.
Alfredson scores and Carvalho's still down and the crowd is irate. Looks like he's either got a rib problem or a shoulder problem. Alfredson nails him from behind. Oh man, that's got separated shoulder written all over it on the left side.